And you count, like, you need to punch somebody and they should get out of it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the edition of Fast Radio. How's everybody doing tonight?
How's everything going?
Yeah, how's everything going?
My service is kind of shit. I don't know.
Well, your cell phone service.
Yeah, I've been cutting in and out.
Oh, man. Hopefully you'll be able to stay on the whole show. If not, to try to get back on, we'll be back on the air. If you can't get back, if you get caught up, try to get back on, we'll put you back on. Is there a TV going on or something?
Yeah, that's my bad. That's me.
Okay, you turn it down.
Okay, yeah.
Thanks.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Now I
want to
know what you're watching.
Archer.
Oh, I love that show.
I freaking love Archer.
Now I'm going to make you want to skip the show and go come to your house and watch Archer with you.
It's on the big screen, too. Big TV.
I was watching Hardcore Porn.
Hardcore Porn?
Hardcore Porn. I know where your brain is.
Say, damn, Chris has got you beat, Amber. I'm no longer going to be your house watching Hardcore Porn with Kristen.
All right. It's not the amateur stuff either.
Huh?
Oh my.
So it's not the amateur stuff either.
Oh,
professional.
No, man. Professional. Oh. People get paid. Making money up in this bitch.
All right.
I've got beer, Archer on the
Allie
main screen.
She's at the studio. I don't know if she's on her phone or not. She's granting the board tonight.
Walk by the room and just wave at her for us.
Oh, well, I need to go back inside. I walk outside to get some fresh air. My beer is outside.
Mm.
I'll be spending most of my time. So how were your weekend?
Mine was hectic. I replaced the wheel bearings in my car, and it didn't fix the problem. And I think I need a new transmission. So
that blows.
Yeah, it makes me kind of want to beat my face in.
I want to see that.
Honey,
what the hell is going on
back there?
If you think
your car is bad, why don't you take care of mine? Mine's got two busted CVs in the front. I've got the busted strut in the rear. I need to replace the timing belt.
I'm surprised your car still moves, Amber. Yeah, I was with you.
There is a hole in my exhaust, so it's really loud.
He's like one of those cars
I can't fix that.
Where the person's driving the car and the shit falls off, the doors fall off, and like the all left like the front seat and the wheel and the fucking steering wheel.
Yeah.
That's gonna be your car.
I know, I got that busted up car.
You're Batman. Hoopty.
Okay.
I say shit, but I'm sure my car will break down tomorrow. I'm talking about your car.
You better knock on wood.
About it. I know. Shit.
My car might be broke as shit, but it gets me where I need to be.
I'm shocked. It's a broken car. It's like Jesus' car. Hallelujah!
I'm going to get a new car. I'm going to get a new car and blow you guys out of the frickin' water.
I'll get in water, have a low passage so I can bleed the loan out of it. Mm. Are you still watching Archer? What are you watching now?
I'm not watching anything.
Why do I hear, people
There's
talking?
That would be my boyfriend, Chris and Bobby, playing Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tensei 3. Budokai Tensei something.
Well, tell him you're
going
to have volume to play.
Do what?
I don't want the background noise to distract the guests when she comes on, that's all.
Well, I'm probably going to mute myself until I have something to say.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I guess I just want to,
Yeah.
What time is she supposed to be calling in?
Fucking bitch.
I'm calling
in a minute.
Calling around 9:10, so.
Okay.
She's a really nice girl, and she's done a lot. So, a lot of
I can barely hear you.
she's done a lot of investigating and stuff. So I have my phone away from her mouth.
Hello?
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 Amy,
hello?
This is Amy.
Hey, Amy. How you doing?
Hi,
Ryan.
Amy.
Hi.
I'm Kristen.
We're good. This is Ryan.
Good.
You've been talking to me. How are you doing?
Good.
That's good. That's good. Amber is somewhere. She'll be on when she when she has something to say.
I said hi. I guess he couldn't hear
me. Oh,
he
did? Okay. Good. So, how was your weekend?
Pretty good. It was busy.
What'd you do?
Yes, very busy. But I had a great time.
Did you go on any investigations this weekend?
No, I went to a premiere for Living Dead Paranormal, and then it was at a restaurant, and then we ate dinner there, and we watched the premiere, and then we came back.
Okay.
Because I had to work, so we didn't go on any. I did go on an investigation last week to Willow Creek.
Where was that? Where?
Willow Creek.
Oh, yeah.
That was that place that I was telling you about.
You did mention something about that. We'll definitely want to hear about that, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Man. Oh, it was great to have you on the show.
Yeah,
really
thank you.
No problem. Really appreciate you taking your time to come talk with us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Where'd you get the name Ghost Box Chick from?
Well, basically, at the time, I was trying to think of a Facebook name, and I've just been having some amazing things happen to me when I started using the Ghost Box, which has been the last year and a half. So crazy that I just thought that it fit, because it seemed to be every single investigation I went on for, like, months straight, I would just have the most amazing things happen. I would blow people's minds. Because I go hunting with different people. I'm not part of a group. So I would go with different groups, and they would just all be blown away by the things that I would get. So I was just like, I felt like that, you know, kind of named me well. Because I was really known for that for a while there. And, I mean, sometimes still I'll go places and I won't put anything. It won't want to talk at all. And you can't help that. But
you can't.
Yeah, when they do talk, it's crazy. It's like they answer all my questions. It's crazy to where you hold up a playing card and say, what card am I holding? And they will tell me in my ear. So you could be on that side of the room holding the card, and the ghost box will tell me what the card is, and I won't even see the card. So that's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess I know what your piece of equipment of choice would be.
Definitely, ghost box.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's rare. You get such good responses. You can see why that you use that that moniker.
Well, I have a personal story about with the ghost box that really set it off. It was a private investigation that I went on. It was one of the most amazing things that's ever happened to me in my life.
We'd love to hear it.
I mean, I actually got the guy's voice. And the only reason I know it was his voice is because they have his voice on a recorder, and they played it, and it was the exact same voice I was getting through the ghost box. And the reason why they called me is because a lighter kept being thrown at them. And they were like, you know, why? Can you please help us come and see what my husband is trying to tell me, because every time I get off the couch, his big lighter flies off the counter at me. And she keeps seeing shadows. So I went there, and sure enough, I mean, it didn't take long at all for me to get in contact with him. And one of the very first questions they asked me to ask him was, did you go to your nephew's game? I didn't know what kind of game it was. I just said, did you go to your nephew's game? And right away I got baseball. And I said, baseball? And they said, it was a baseball. He's wearing a baseball cap. He had just came from his game right before that. And then before I know it, once they actually heard their grandpa's voice, their husband, you know, there was like four people in the room, they started calling all the family. Before I know it, I've got like 25 people in the room with me. And they're all like, Grandpa's talking to us. Uncle's talking to us. I mean, and I'm like, okay, come on, guys, you know, I mean, give me a second. And then finally I ask them, you know, is there something that you want to say to them? And clear as day, it said, be happy. Because I guess before all this, since he died, they hadn't been living their lives. They were crying every night. They were depressed. They couldn't go on with their lives. They were a mess. So it must have been like, you know, he's throwing that lighter at them saying, stop this, you know, stop. And this guy came in the room, and he goes, okay, I think you're fake. I want to ask him a question that nobody else would know. And I said, oh, go ahead. I can't fake this, you know. I mean, do whatever you want. I can't fake this. And they go, okay, Uncle, I want you to tell me, what is the color of the boat that we always rode in back in the day? And it said blue, and it was right. And where did we hide this on this day? And I didn't know what any of those questions meant. I was just oblivious, and I guess it answered the right question, and he was blown away. At that point, he, the non-believer, picked up the phone and called like five more people. Before I knew it, there's 40 people at this house, and then you can really walk. But they're all just so amazed that they're talking to him because he did have cancer. He was dying of cancer for about a year, but at the end of it, he took a really bad turn, and it then died kind of. You know. So one of the last questions I said, okay, so I know you want them to be happy, but can you tell me what do you have to say to your wife in particular? Is there any certain thing you want to say to her? Clear as day, it said, go to bed.
Go to bed.
She was up too late. And she just started dying laughing because she said, that's exactly what he would tell me if I was up past my bedtime. I know.
That's so cool.
So everybody in the room was a believer after that. I started getting all these Facebook friend requests from all these people that were in this room, these people that didn't even believe in paranormal until this experience. They know it was his voice. They know that he was answering all these questions. It was just amazing. So that was one of the most amazing experiences. I actually seen firsthand how I helped somebody. Because after that, it was Mother's Day. So it's been almost a year ago today when this happened. Because it was Mother's Day, and I got a special message from the lady. She goes, I just wanted to tell you that you made my Mother's Day the best Mother's Day ever. I'm actually moving on. I can move on now. I know that that's what he wants. And, you know, she just kept thanking me. And it was the best feeling ever. I was like, this actually helped somebody. And that was great to me. So.
Hey, that's cool. A lot of these shows like Long Island Media where they say, you know, yeah, you know, I'm talking to your husband right now. He says stuff. But you don't hear it. These people are hearing it,
right.
Hearing it for themselves. That
right.
Is so much better than when what you see like those TV shows or whatever. I mean,
yes.
You're bringing them closure and bringing peace of mind. That's freaking incredible.
It was. I couldn't believe it when they played his voice back, and I knew it was the exact same voice that we were talking to. I mean, that. I can't even tell you. We haven't experienced anything like that since, because even if I do go to investigations, I wouldn't know this person's voice from that person's voice, you know. And for that to happen like it did, it still blows me away. I remember when I left her house that night, I didn't cry. I was just in shock. In fact, I almost felt like a whole bunch of my energy had been taken away. I was extremely tired. The next day I woke up, I cried for a good 45 minutes straight, just bawled, because I think everything sunk in what just happened. It was happy tears, you know what I mean? I was just so emotional, though, because I was like, oh, my God, I cannot believe this happened, because that was just, it still amazes me. But, even today, that family is so much better off. They're just doing so well, so that makes me feel good.
Yeah, I mean, without you, they would have been move on. They would have been like, they probably still would have been. They would have moved on eventually, but they sure as hell wouldn't be the same as they are now.
Right. Yes.
You know.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. Yep.
Do they still get messages from him, or know that he's around in certain times, or is everything just kind of died down?
No, everything has stopped. I actually talked to her about a couple months ago, and I asked her because she asked if I could come back because she wanted me to just make another trip. But then she said, actually, I don't need you to. She goes, I'm not being rude. She goes, but there's no activity. I'm at peace. She goes, I know he is. I am. I don't need you to come back. So nothing's happened since. He literally just wanted to get that message across. And the funny thing is, she said, it's so weird to her that Vic lighter ever flew off the counter because she never put it on the counter. I mean, they have grandkids, and they said they don't leave lighters out. But how it kept getting back on the counter to fly off at her, she still couldn't even figure that part out. But he got his message across, and nothing else happened. So
you know, it kind of makes you wonder how many other families are out there have the same problem that this family had, and there's no one there. No one they can turn to get closure like that. How many spirits are sitting in their room yelling at, I'm here, talk to me. And they have no way of communicating with them.
Exactly. He may have been restless spirit, too, if he couldn't actually got closure and was able to speak to his family. But, I want to tell you one more thing real quick that I didn't mention about this.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
This just tells you that these ghost box knows that they know what's going on. Now, we were in a room, a closed room, and it said, Corey. And I said, is there a Corey here? And everybody goes, no, he's not here. He has a nephew named Corey, but he's not here. Not even 60 seconds later, we get a knock at the door, and Corey was at the door.
Oh, my God.
It was like the ghost box seen him pull into the driveway. You know, he seen him pull into the driveway, and then he said Corey, and then Corey was at the door. That was crazy to me. Everybody in the room just lost it when he knocked, and we said, who is it? And he walked in, and it was Corey. He didn't know why everybody was going crazy. But that everybody heard that ghost box just say his name. So that was nuts.
When you say ghost box,
I guess him
you mean
and Corey
like
were very close.
Is that a spirit box or is it ovulus? What is it like one of those, the ones
the
that skip
box.
The radius skips?
Yep.
Or is it one of those ovulus? Okay, all right.
And I found the perfect, perfect setting for me, the way that I always get the best. I've talked to other people that actually use different, sometimes they'll go forward, I go reverse, and I do it 250, some people do it 350, but I'm telling you, when these spirits want to talk, they have... They come across clear as day, and sometimes it'll go 3 hours. I'm at one location, we're talking 3 hours. I sat there and talked to one, and I was like, okay, I got to take a break. I mean, even though it was answering every single question for 3 hours, I just felt drained. Like, I had to take a break. She still wanted to talk. But
it's probably taking some of the energy, too, to answer the questions.
What?
I said it's probably taking some of your energy as well to answer the questions.
I think so, yeah, I do. Because sometimes I really feel very drained afterwards. But when you get that many consistent answers, you can't deny it. And that's you just can't. And there's a lot of people that I know who are like, I don't believe in that ghost box. But when you take it somewhere to a location that wants to talk to you, that a spirit, if a spirit wants to communicate with you, I think you'll be a believer. You just have to actually, you have to take it to the right place because there's just no way. It's not possible for them to answer and to even mimic someone's voice. That it's just, that's just crazy. I think it's amazing, and I love to use it because it's my favorite piece of equipment, absolutely. So.
What kind of protection do you use when you go on investigations or when you start a spirit box session?
Well, I do have a necklace that I wear, but I also have a protection tattoo, and I also have a bracelet, and I say a prayer before and after.
Okay.
A protection prayer. I didn't used to do that, and then I had something follow me home, and that was one of the scariest times in my life because it wasn't a friendly spirit that followed me home. So ever since, I've definitely taken all of the precautions.
You can't be too careful, that's for sure.
No, that one was like standing at my bed, waking me up every night. It was horrible. I couldn't sleep. I mean, I need my sleep. I'm somebody who gets 8 hours sleep every night. And I was getting like 2 or 3 a night. Because I would wake up and he'd just be standing there. You could see a shadow figure just standing right at my bed staring at me. And it's almost like he knows that that's my fear because I've always told people one of the scariest fears I have is somebody watching me sleep. I don't know why. that just apps, that's my private. You know, I do not want anybody watching me sleep, and that's what she would be doing every time I woke up. So.
That's scary. I mean, people watching, even that would be uncomfortable if people watching someone watching me sleep. That's just, you know, it's.
I don't know. And around the same time, I heard about a scary movie coming out where this guy watches you sleep, and if you sleep all night and don't wake up and find him, you live. But if you wake up and you see him watching you sleep, he'll kill you. this is great. Right around the time when I'm having this guy in my room, or I'm just assuming it's a man, but I felt like it was a manly sleeper.
Well, don't go see that movie.
No. That actually really scares me. No, that's something that, if that is spiders, that scares me. So.
How long do you have your attachment?
Gosh, he lasted, let's see, started in December, and he didn't go away till March, so 3 months.
I had to sage the,
I don't know. To be honest with you, I saged, we did the prayers, everything. And even after that, he still took another month and a half to leave. And then one day he just stopped showing up. I don't know. I haven't, you know, nothing else happened.
He got bored watching you sleep.
Maybe. Maybe I wasn't exciting anymore. I don't know.
I guess, yeah. Wow.
Because I thought it was going to be a lot harder because one of the times I woke up and I didn't see him, but I smelled sulfur. It was so strong in my nose that it actually burnt my nose. So I woke up and thought the house was on fire. Yeah. And he wasn't there, but that smell woke me up out of a dead sleep. And I thought it was going to be a lot more to get him to leave, but it didn't. I just one day he just stopped showing up. So.
Did you have any weird or like unusual dreams during this period, or
dreams? Did you say dreams?
Yeah.
No. Not really.
Like the smell of sulfur. Everybody kind of they associate the smell of sulfur with demons. Or,
that's what I've heard.
Yeah, and I was wondering if maybe the whole watching you sleep thing had to do with, like, dreams or stuff like that, or maybe something you were putting off in your sleep had drawn him to stay with you for that while, and then something automatically changed, and he was like, well, this isn't fun anymore.
Yeah, that could be. The only thing that I wouldn't understand about it being a demon is that it didn't hurt me in any way. It just washed me sleep. You know what I mean? And eventually, what I've learned about demons from the, you know, when I've read online, is that they would eventually try to hurt you. You know, and not at first. First, they just try to scare you, but then it never went to that next step. So that always made me believe that it was just an evil spirit. And from the place that I know what place I brought it home from, it was still asleep. Crazy, because it's the scariest place I've ever been. It's the most haunted place I've ever been. But I can't stop going back there. I don't. If there's some connection I have to that house. I've been there 7 times last week. And there's just, I never go there and not have the whole place light up and have the most craziest, wildest experiences of my life there. And some of them are fun. And some of them are actually exciting. And I was smiling at first, and then they just started getting more wicked the more I went. It was like, okay, you were fun once, and now I just want to scare you. I mean, because it just, things got worse.
Well, definitely. So, where is Willow's Weep?
Eugene, Indiana.
Okay. Is it a house, or is it like a...
Yes, it's a house.
Like a mansion type
of thing? No, that's the thing. It's not a very big house. So a lot of people are like, I don't want to go investigate there because it's not very big. But I don't think it matters if there's that much activity there, how big it is. And the thing is, I don't understand why that place lights up like it does every time I go there. I'll go with different people. In fact, the first time I went with 7 people, and only 2 of them would go back. The rest of them said, I'll never even ghost hunt again. They wouldn't investigate anymore after that. Because it actually lifted us about an inch up off the ground when we asked for a sign. The loudest bang you can imagine in your ear. And it actually lifted. One of the guys actually had a hurt back afterwards. So I don't understand how people could go there and not have any experiences, because there's some people that say it's fake, you know, just like they do. People are going to say that. And then other people say, well, I went there 3 times and I never had one thing happen. And I'm thinking, well, if it's fake, I don't think any of these places are going to let you go there 3 times without an experience. I can't tell you why you're not having an experience, but if you go with me, I promise you, because I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter who I go with, the whole place just lights up. I mean, even last time I had a really tragic thing happen in my life a couple months ago, so it was really hard going back last week because I didn't want to be vulnerable, you know, and I was.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It really fed off that last week. It really did, so.
Wow. Have you but always been into the paranormal?
No. No, actually only the last 4 years. I watched Ghost Hunters, you know, since it very first came out, and it intrigued me. I loved it. Like, I wouldn't miss one episode. I loved it, and then I had my own personal experience one day, and this was out of the blue. It was nothing that I was looking for. I really never even thought that I would ever be an investigator. It just intrigued me. But after this personal experience happened to me, I wanted answers. I wanted to go find out for myself. And then I had an opportunity one day, and then that's how it took.
That's how it starts out with most people, that they have something happen to them, they got to figure out why it happened.
Yeah.
Do you have any special psychic abilities or anything, like, besides
yeah.
the ghost box thing?
No, I don't have any. I'm just curious. I am very good with children, and I get a lot of children that come to me. Except one night, I brought home a child once. I know it was a girl because I got her picture in the mirror, and then for a whole week straight, I found puddles all over my floor, and I thought my dog was having an accident, but when we cleaned it up, it had no scent. It was just puddles of water. We're talking at one time, there was 20-some puddles of water on my floor. Puddles out of nowhere. It didn't rain. Nothing. And I looked it up, mysterious puddles of water, because I was really starting to wonder what was going on in my house, and it said poltergeist activity. Sure enough, along with these puddles of water, there was door slamming, there was knocking, there was running, there was, you name it. All of this happened for about a week straight, and then it went back to us. It came down.
So the puddles of water were poltergeist activity?
Yep, that's what it said, and I never heard of such a thing. I couldn't have told you that. Honestly, it blew my mind, and still, my daughter thought, oh, Mama, it has to be the dog. I'm like, honey, it's not he. You can smell it. I'd take a white towel and put it on top and be clear, and it had no scent mm-hmm. whatsoever. But, you know, she doesn't believe, so she's older, she's 19, so she kept trying to make sense of it. It has to be the dogs, because they don't want to believe that these mysterious puddles are, you know, just showing up on our floor. It was literally, I'd clean one up, and a couple hours later, I'd look over, and there'd be another big, huge puddle. I mean, it was, like, constantly for a week.
Wow, I never heard of that.
I hadn't never heard of it until it happened to me, but if you look it up, it is a sign of poltergeist activity, and if it wasn't with the same time that I'm having these other things happen too, I might not have thought that's what it was, but it was with, you know, these other things, so.
Wow.
And then you had mentioned earlier that you don't investigate with any groups in, like, solidly, but you go around with different groups. Is that
yes,
how you learn to investigate?
Well, I used to be a member of a group, and then it split up, so I just decided to go on my own. So basically, if a group wants me to go with them somewhere, they'll just message me and say, hey, you want to go here, and I'll go with them. Or sometimes I'll just host my own. I'll be like, hey, I want to go here, but, you know, and then I'll invite people. So it just depends. Okay. But yeah, I'm not a part of any group. And I'm actually a lot happier like this. I love being on my own. This is how I prefer it. I don't think I'll ever be a part of a group again.
And once you go solo, you never go back.
I'm just actually really enjoying it like this. You know, no, I actually loved my group when I had it, and it was very awesome while it was going on. I have nothing against groups, but this is definitely the way for me. I love it. So.
How do you think the paranormal TV shows affect investigations today, or how people investigate?
well, I think that they've been a really good influence. Like, they really bring, you know, they bring it to light more. People maybe that never ever thought about investigating before think, oh, maybe I can do this. Definitely when you get out there, it's a lot different than TV shows. So, I mean, because I remember when I very first started investigating, it's not exactly like I thought, because I thought there was going to be a lot more action. And instead, there's a lot more sitting and waiting. But the longer I've been doing this, actually, I have become more in tune with my senses, and it doesn't take long for action to happen anymore like it used to for me. I mean, I used to sit and wait for hours and maybe have one thing. Now it's like I go somewhere, and I've got this and this and this happening all around me, and it's just crazy. But I also think that the shows have really helped the paranormal community. I think they've brought a lot of it to light. So,
tell me some of the history of Willow's Weep. I'm starting to get curious about this place now.
About Willow's Weep history?
Yes, yes.
There's been some suicides. There's not a whole lot of history for the place. They only know about the suicide. And for some reason, people that investigate there, too, there's been a lot of suicides from people that have investigated there. It's a very depressing place. There is two family plots buried underneath the house. Really, what I believe in my heart is that there, because I've actually seen up to 50 or 60 spirits crawl out of the ceiling there with my own eyes, with my friend sitting right next to me. And as soon as this dark, shadowy figure showed up in the door, every single one of those spirits ran into the wall. It's like they all disappeared. They're scared to death. And so I believe that he holds them there. He's holding all of those spirits in that house. And when he shows up, they won't talk. It's so weird. I went there twice since I got my ghost box. Couldn't get a spirit to say one thing. I was like, this is weird. This is the most haunted place I've ever been, and I've got no option on the ghost box. I went last week, and they were talking. They weren't saying a whole lot. It's almost like they were talking to each other more than they were talking to me.
Yeah.
But at least they were talking. Because usually it's like they're not allowed to talk. Like, he would keep them from talking.
You can tell when the mean spirit is there, because the spirits, the other spirits who are normally talkative, are just not talking at all.
Yes. And that's what happened the one night when there were supposed to be five of us investigating Willow Creek, and three of them didn't show. And my friend and I investigated ourselves, and that's when it followed me home. What I think happened, we were there for 4 hours, and we didn't get one thing that happened. For 4 hours straight, we didn't get a knock. We didn't get a scratch. We didn't get anything, because usually we'll see scratching on the walls there. Very popular there. Nothing. Nothing at all. So we're like, okay, let's go to the gas station and take a break, because we're not getting anything. Well, we stayed gone for close to an hour. We didn't realize it, but when we looked at the clock, we realized we really were gone a long time. When we came back, we opened that door, and it's like the house thought we were gone, and it was all completely lit up. We walked in. My friend Tracy had a knife in our pocket, you know, because we were scared somebody might have gotten to the house while we were gone. We wanted to make sure no one was in there.
Yeah.
Well, our fire had went out, so she was lighting the burner, and my ghost box said knife. Like, it knew that Tracy had a knife in her pocket, and she goes, yeah, I got a knife. As soon as she said that, you can hear footsteps. Actually, they're footsteps, but they are charging at me from clear across the room. I mean, so they're running so hard that the house is shaking. And they're charging right at me. I can hear them come, and they stop right at my feet. And then the ghost box said, enter.
So they're running towards you.
What?
So they're
running
towards you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
You could hear them, like, starting from across the house, running all the way at me. Scared. I've never been that scared in my life. Because, I mean, that was just, I can't explain it unless you're there. You know nobody is in the house, but you're hearing these footsteps running at you, and nobody's there. So it's like right in front of you. You hear them coming at you, but there's nobody there. And you can't really explain to somebody how scary that is unless you're living it. Because if somebody would have told me that, I would have been like, oh, that's it. But honestly,
I've seen my pants, that's for sure.
It was, I've never been that scared, never. So I okay, my friend Chelsea, I was like, okay, we can run out of this house right now, and I can get in my car and try to back out of the driveway, which is a pretty long, long driveway, and I will probably wreck. If I leave right now, I'm going to wreck. Or we can go sit on the couch, calm down, and breathe a minute. So we decided to go sit because I knew that if I got in that car, I was going to be out and I was going to hit the house, probably hit the willow tree that's in front of the house. Who knows? I just knew that it was not smart to leave right at that second because I was going to just run.
So
we go sit on the couch.
Yeah.
And we got the noises in the kitchen, the scratching on the wall, the talking on the ghost box was calling us horrible names. Finally, I say, okay, are you calm down enough to go? So we both decided to go. We left, and on our way out, we heard the loudest bang in the kitchen, like, thank God you're leaving. You know, I was shaking all the way. So we drive 10 miles down the street to the next gas station away from town. I turn on my recorder. I wanted to see if I got the footsteps charging at me. Sure enough, did. Clear as can be. We got the ghost box, what it said. We got the footsteps. We got everything. So that was pretty amazing. As soon as I realized I got it on tape, I wanted to go back.
Yeah, definitely.
Because to me, that was just verification because, you know, Jesse was rolling newspaper. I don't even know. She knew that she heard footprints, but she didn't quite know what was going on. And when she heard it on the recorder, it was all real to her, too. So that was pretty amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you get evidence like this, like the steps and all the voices and stuff, do you put that online for people to listen to, or do you keep that for yourself?
That one I shared. I don't share all my evidence because, honestly, a lot of people just tear it apart. They're not there. They don't know what happened. And I will share it with the people that I investigated with that night because they know what's going on. I'm not going to go share it with people that weren't in the room, don't know that it's not somebody else, because there's really no point. Truth is, if you can't prove anything, that's not going to be anything for them to listen to or watch, in my opinion. Because they're not going to know exactly what was going on in the house. They weren't there. So,
yeah.
I have no desire. But, like, something I'm getting ready to share is what I caught last week. It said, I want to touch your hair. We caught that EVP. And then not even 60 seconds later, I say, who just touched my hair? So that's pretty amazing to me because it's not our voice. There was only three people in the room, and it's not any of our voices. It's like a really creepy voice. And then I am actually saying, did somebody fix my hair? So I will be putting that one on because I thought that was really neat. But I don't share all of it. I just will pick and choose what I share because of reasons. I used to share almost everything, and it got torn apart by everybody. And with something I love and believe in that much, I don't like it to be torn apart. Even I know everybody has the right to their own opinion, but really they don't have an opinion because they weren't there. To me, you can't give a legitimate opinion on something if you're not there. So to see that there's nobody else in the room or, you know, what the circumstances are. So,
as well as we pay actual house people live in, or is it abandoned?
Well, see, they actually bought it to live in it, and when they were renovating it, that's when things started happening. Like one of the wood piece flew off the ceiling and hit her son in the head, and he had to go to the emergency room. All kinds of horrible things were happening. So she just decided to. She was a paranormal investigator. She decided to sell it, you know, rent it out. So she lives right by it. She just lives right around the corner from it. So.
It's a good way to make some extra money if people come in.
Yeah, but she will not go in that house by herself. Yeah, she refuses to go in that house by herself.
Even with some other people, she
won't
go in.
What?
Even with other people, she won't go in? Just refuses to go in at all?
She won't go in alone, but she will go in during the day with other people, but she told me at night she won't go in with anyone. Because she's that scared of it. She knows what that house. And anybody that's ever had an experience there, I guarantee you it's an experience you'll never forget. Because when it does make contact with you, it's not a little, let me touch you on your arm. It's something that you're going, it's going to stick with you. That's just how that house is. It is powerful. It's crazy. I could write a book. I could talk hours about that house, the things that happened to me in that house.
I swear, it's just crazy.
What?
It's weird how certain houses can be like that. Some nondescript house can have all these evil spirits attached to it. You know, it's just weird how these random houses have such bad things attached to them.
And it was built in the 1800s. And I wish I knew what it was that was holding me up, because you want to help them so bad. Mm-hmm. I took a picture, and you know how there's matrix thing in the windows and stuff. Well, I took a picture before I left 2 times ago. I looked at my picture when I got home. Cool day, it looked like a kid reaching for me and a guy standing behind him with a long beard, like, I'm not letting you go anywhere. And I promise you, that's how I feel about that place. Because one night, we were there, and I said, if there's any children here, please come into the room. Well, I had it on video record. And you could hear us say, it's cold. It's really, really cold. And then this a ball of light, and I'm not talking like an orb. I'm talking, it was on the video recorder, and it was like, it had its own, it wasn't like an orb. It was almost like a traveling light. Like, you could tell it came right into the middle of the room and stopped right in the middle of the room. And it was like that the children were coming into the room. Well, I couldn't watch any more of the video, because as soon as I started watching that and I got to that part, my son said a chair scooted across the room in the living room. He got somebody screaming at him in his ear. I mean, it literally started attacking my kid. Whatever it was that came home with me started attacking my child. So then I was like, okay, I'm not going to watch this anymore. So I stopped watching the video. I go out into the living room, and my son had let the dogs out, and I yelled at him. I said, CJ, why'd you leave the dogs out? As soon as I said that, the lights in the house flickered. And my son looks at me and said, my mom's a demon. Because, I mean, all of the lights flickered. We don't have an electrical problem. Like, it's a new house. We've never had an electrical problem here. So it was almost like it didn't want me to see parts in the video until this day, and I was still part of the group then. I told them, if you guys want to watch this video with me, you can come over, but I'm not watching it alone. As soon as I started watching it, things started happening to my son. Not to me. Nothing happened to me, but, I mean, he was getting screamed at. He was scared. And that chair scoot across, he's never seen anything like that. He was like, well, and he didn't even know what I was doing in the office, so he didn't know I was watching a paranormal video, you know, so I never to this day have finished watching that video. Because I want alone. I need somebody here with me. I can't, and I gotta make sure my child's not here, so.
Well, I can't say I blame you for that. When it comes to your kids, you definitely want to protect them. And, obviously something that the spirit didn't want you to see on that video, if you stop and you have to watch it.
I know, and it makes me want to watch it more to see what it is. I cannot. It's like every time I try to find somebody that's going to, my son, she tried to come over. My son was staying the night somewhere, and she tried to come over and watch the video with me and got deadly ill. She came in, sat down with me. We started watching not even 60 seconds of it, and she said, I'm sick, I got to go. And she was so sick and had to go home. I'm like, seriously, it was fine. I mean, she literally went home, and she had to travel. But she went right back home. She was sick. Couldn't watch it with me. I said, I give up. I couldn't watch it anytime soon.
Jeez.
So it's been over a year
now.
Now I kind of want
to watch the videos. Who didn't see if anything happens to me? Jeez.
I just don't understand it. It's weird, but that's the kind of things that happens at this house, things that you don't understand. None of it makes any sense. But I don't know. But, yeah, I still want to go back. I think it's just because if you go to a place like that, every other place doesn't quite seem as exciting. Not to be, like, rude like that. You know, I love going to different places, but the activity that I get there is just a whole other level of activity, you know. It's just nuts.
I do have a quick question.
All
the activity, like the charging footsteps and the voices that you're getting on the speaker box or your recordings, are they different voices or is it just one constant?
Different voices. It's not like at the jail where I hold up the card and get the voice same voice. I've always got different ones here.
Okay. So I'm starting to think that maybe the person that's holding them there is more the malevolent one than anything, but You proved my theory wrong.
Yeah, but you know, the truth is, though, honestly, they can manipulate voices, too. So you never know if what you're hearing, you know, if the weird thing, though, at Harper City Jail, every single time I get an answer from a card, it's this guy with a very deep voice, like super deep. And he's the only one that will answer my cards. I don't know if it's just like that's his favorite game to play, because I know that they used to play cards in jail back in the day. And that was his favorite thing. But he's the only one that will tell me the card that the other person has. Because I've done that with four different people that have investigated there with me. And every single time I get that same guy with the very deep voice that will tell me the card. And nobody will believe
playing?
It until they're holding it. I mean, what?
So are they playing cards or are they the kind of the cards with the shapes on them?
Yes, playing cards. Playing cards. Okay. Like I actually even brought it out and started playing cards with them. Like I was playing poker with them.
Uh-huh.
And I would ask them, do you want to hit? And it would say hit, say, it would answer what I wanted to do. And then when I won like three times in a row, it didn't want to play with me. No.
Sore loser, huh?
What?
So sore loser, huh?
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. You're a sore loser. And then the EMS thing went all the way up to red, and then he wouldn't play with me no more. Seriously, we couldn't get him to say another thing for the rest of the night, so he was done. The next time I came, I was like, let's try this again. And he played for a while, and then I won again, and he didn't like that. So, yeah, he definitely didn't want to play if he wasn't winning. You could tell because he just stopped after a while, but it was always that guy with the deep voice. And I'm getting ready to go back there. We're having a mother-daughter, mother-son hunt there coming up in a week.
Oh, Mother's
so I'm
Day
curious
type thing?
Yeah. We did it last Mother's Day. We went there. And my son, his girlfriend, her mom, and then my son has another friend. We're all doing it. And it's just a good place to go. There's certain places that I think you can take kids to and certain places that you don't. And any place I'm going to take my kids to, I definitely want to investigate there a couple of times first to make sure that it's the place I want to take my son. But I actually really feel good about going there with him. Because I've never gotten anything negative there. Just definitely very active spirits that want to communicate, that want to talk. Definitely. So that's why I said, you gotta know that this isn't, you know, a joke. But last year it was funny because he brought two friends. Both of them ended up passing out on the couch, so they weren't really into it yet. So, but we'll see how it goes this year.
So you said earlier that you saw looked like an old man with those weep at a child in the window.
Yeah.
So was it like in the picture? I guess was it?
Yes.
The picture you took, or?
Yes. And you know, I never ever put it on Facebook and said, "Hey, look, I caught an old man with a child." No, I don't do that.
Yes.
Because you can't really say what it is for sure. I know that's what I felt like it was when I looked at it. And there were some people that looked at it and said, hey, that looks like this. That's exactly what I think. And then there's some people that said, you know, that's definitely a major thing.
Well, that's just opinion, you know, the opinion of the beholder, I guess. But I was wondering if you ever, looked at the history of the house and maybe see if you could see a picture of someone with a long beard like that, like associated with the house at all, if you had done any research.
There's really none, like no pictures or anything that they found that you could even compare to. But the strange thing is, when Willowsweep first started investigating a couple of years ago, it was on the picture that was on their page on if you go to Facebook, go to Willowsweep, you can look at the picture they caught when they first got the house. They were just taking pictures of the house. And in the front door, there's a man standing with a beard, exactly like the one I seen.
Compared
on my picture.
The pictures and pretty much the same?
Yes, and if you ask the owner of the house, she will say she believes 100% that that is the same guy. So that was kind of odd to me. To catch a very similar in a completely different window. It wasn't even the same. You know, the other one was in the front door, and this one was in the front, corner window. But you know something very odd about this house? Remember I told you I say at least 50 or 60 spirits crawl out of the ceiling, and then you could see them crawling out. Like, you couldn't see legs. It was really weird. All you could see was arms and heads. The arms were reaching, and the heads were pulling. And before you knew it, the whole entire ceiling was black. It was like they filled the whole ceiling. Then they started coming out of the chairs. Then they started coming out of the walls.
Are you seeing these spirits with your mind, or is it with your actual eyes?
No, eyes. This is nothing, because like I said, my friend seen it too. He was sitting right next to me on the couch. We were the only two in the house. And what it was, it's dark shadows. That's what it looks like. They're just,
yeah.
But you can tell because they have heads, they have arms, and they're reaching. And one of them that came out of the chair was crawling on the floor towards us. And I said, Alex, there's a spirit crawling towards your leg right now. And he said, no, there's not. And as soon as he said, no, sir, no, there's not, it grabbed his leg. And he screamed because it actually reached for his leg. Not even a couple seconds later, we look up and then we see that dark figure in the doorway. It was just standing there. I mean, I cannot explain to you how terrified I was. Because to
I'm
see
terrified.
A full
I'm, I'm
body.
To it.
What?
I'm terrified just by listening to it.
Oh, I know. A full, like it almost took up the whole doorway. And it just stood there. And I was trying not to look where the face would be because I felt like if I looked at his face, I would just start running. So I kind of just looked at his body. You know how you just kind of look up at the corner and I see in his shadow and not even took a couple seconds. Every single one of those spirits went right back into the corner of the ceiling. Now, I started thinking last week when I was there, why are they coming from that corner? Well, I thought about it, and this is very odd. In that corner, there is a room upstairs that nobody can get to. There's no way up there. The only way that you can get into that room upstairs is with a ladder from the outside. So they tried to get in there from the outside, and the ladder fell, and the guy ended up in the ER. So they never tried to get up in there again. So there's this room that ever since they've had this house, they have never been in. And that's where those spirits came out of, that corner where that room is, up in that. I'm wondering if that's where they hide, up in that room.
It could be something, some really nasty shit up there, up in that, up
or,
in that room.
Or
that,
that's where he keeps them captive.
About.
Yeah, or that's where he keeps them captive. That's what I thought. Maybe he keeps them up there.
That seems likely.
They were
to
reaching
me.
Out to me. That's the kind of things that I was saying when we were on the couch. You know, I was trying to reach out to the children because those seem to respond really well to me. So I was asking for them to come forward. And that's when they started crawling out of the ceiling, these black shadows. Like I said, I never seen legs. It was really odd. All you could see was heads and arms.
Yeah.
And I know I'll probably never get anything like this again. But the truth is, I know everybody talks about equipment all the time. And let me tell you, that if you're going for proof, that's fine. But if you're going for personal experiences, I don't need all that equipment. I mean, I do my ghost box sessions, and then I do my EMF detector, and I'll do my recorder. But I won't bring in, like, all these lights and all this recorders. I don't get as much happen.
Yeah.
It's almost like they don't want to communicate with you when you have all these lights on. They're either afraid of it or it pushes them away. So it's all about what you're going into it for. And see, I'm going into it for my personal experience. That's what I want. So I don't need all that stuff. But
because I kept thinking
that I wish I could have got that on video, you know, them crawling out of the ceiling. I wish I could have got that on video, but I don't even know if they would have done it if I would have been recording.
Well, then if you got on video, you could go home and try to watch it. They would have made you sick anyway, so, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even look at anything like what it looked like with our eyes, so.
I was going to say, has anyone tried putting a camera in the window to the room that you can't get to?
I don't know how we would get up there. That's what I was saying. The only way that you can get up to that room is outside with a ladder. And the one person that actually did try. What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it second story or third story?
Second. But that's the only room on the second floor. Just the one in that corner. It's almost like an attic, but from the outside, it's just a window. But nobody else wants to try to go up there. And honestly, if I had a ladder, I probably would change that way. But she's not having it. The owner is not really having you trying to go up there because she's seen what happened to the last person that went up to try to go up there. Out of nowhere, the ladder just tumbled over and handed up in the air. So.
Yeah.
Just knowing that there is a room that nobody has been into up there and knowing that that is where I've seen all those shadows come out, I'm just, I want up there. I want to know what's in that room so bad. But there's just no way to get in it. There's no way.
I was thinking maybe
What?
Just up there teasing you now.
Yeah, I bet. And, you know, this house has no corners. It was like the guy that built it was superstitious, so he didn't want any corners in his house. So it's built strange. It's just a very strange house. And I'll be honest with you, when you enter the town, Eugene, it's a different place. It's almost like you're entering a different dimension as soon as you come. You go past this covered bridge, and it's like as soon as you go past this covered bridge, it's like you're entering a whole different dimension. The whole town is just creepy. It's a very creepy place. I mean, I suggest anybody that's ever into stuff. I talk to people in England. They want to come from England and come investigate this place because they've watched YouTube videos of this place online. I mean, Living Dead Paranormal went there and they caught a picture. I don't know if you want to go to their YouTube, but they caught an actual picture of a person. And I cannot help but wonder if it's the one that came home with me because, I mean, you can see it clear as day. It's crazy.
The dark spirit came home with you?
What?
You think it might be the dark spirit that came home with you? The attachment
yes.
you had?
I can't help but wonder if that's the one. And I'm surprised that that's the one that wanted to be filmed, but it was just, these guys couldn't even stay in the house alone. Usually they go in and sit alone and ask some questions. They couldn't even stay in there very long alone. They had to leave because they were so, there was noises. They were just very uncomfortable. So.
Wow. So when you get these voices on your spirit box at the Willow's Weep, are they asking for help? Or are they saying, please help us? Or are they
yes.
You say they're reaching out
yes.
for you. Are they saying that too? Like, help us?
Last week we got it on the ghost box. It actually said help me. Right after, we're not even 5 seconds later, we got help me on the EVP. I've got that too. I could share both of them next week when I get them around. I've been so busy because I had to work day and night for a week. But when I get around, I will be posting it. And you could hear the ghost box. The person said help me because my friend Tracy had it on. It said help me. And then right after that, help me. So they said it and it was through the ghost box. So, yeah, they are asking for help. But how do you help them? As soon as you start to ask them how, what can I do, they don't talk anymore. It's almost like they can't talk or they won't. If I've been there 7 times and I can't get a feeling of what they need, what they want, what I can do for them, I just feel like they're not allowed to talk. So.
Sounds like they want you to know they need help, but they're too scared to ask for it.
Yes. Yeah. And I always get really depressed after I leave there, like for the next couple of days. And the most, like I said, I was really vulnerable the last time I went there last week. And it played on that big time. It grabbed me. I got grabbed. It played with my hair. It was messing with me the whole entire night. But it's because I was so vulnerable. It picked up on that. And I knew I don't usually go investigating when I'm that way because it's just not good. I don't like to. But I didn't cancel it. I went anyway. And that next day, I could barely do anything. I'm a very happy, smiley person. I could not smile all day. I mean, to even crack a smile hurt my face. I mean, it was like I was completely drained. And I'm not like that after every place I go. But Willow's Weep, it definitely will do that to me. So.
I have a question about your attachment. You said you smelled sulfur one morning or one night you woke up. Sulfur.
Yep.
Do you think maybe your attachment was trying to trick you and to think it was a demon to scare you more?
Yes, because I don't believe it was a demon. That's what somebody said to me. Well, you're contradicting yourself because you're saying that you don't think it was a demon, but you smell sulfur, and sulfur is related to a demon. Well, not only is it just related to a demon, but it's related to evil spirits as well. And if it was a demon, I think that it would have tried to hurt me. It never tried to hurt me. It only just kept waking me up. I mean, don't get me wrong. It turned my whole life upside down. Because if you think about it, if you can't get any sleep, the person that's sleeping with you pretty much wants to know what's going on because you're waking up screaming. I mean, I would wake up screaming bloody murder. When I've seen that, it's not like I just woke up and said, oh, hello. I mean, I woke up screaming. Well, So everybody in the house would think that there was an intruder, you know?
Isn't
yeah.
that, like, some kind of mental pain for you, though?
Mental pain?
Yeah, wouldn't that be some kind of mental pain? Like, it might not have been hurting you physically, but mentally causing you strain?
Yes, but, see, there's stages for demons. From what I read, they start off doing that, but they go to the next stage, and it never did go to the next stage. It just scared me. I mean, it never hurt me. It never, yeah, it hurt me mentally, definitely, because I was a mess. In fact, it turned my whole life upside down. But it never tried to, you know, hurt me, and then it just went away. I don't think demons can just go away. So it just went away. I saved the house, and I would say about a month and a half later, it just, everything stopped. Everything in the house. Because I did ghost box sessions in my own house. I would be like, why are you doing this? Why are you waking me up at night? Please stop this. And I would plead with it. Stop doing this to me. What do you want? And you know what it would say to me? This same answer every single time I would ask. I would be like, what do you want? Rest. That's what it would tell me every single time.
Rest?
It wants rest. Well, if it wants rest, why isn't it letting me rest? Because it wouldn't let me rest.
Yeah.
So
maybe he wants you to rest so he can watch you rest. He's telling you,
yep.
Rest.
But that's the only answer I ever got. So, and I have so many questions.
Well, I mean,
would never say anything.
Detachment left Willow's Weep with you, right? That's
what?
Where you think it came from? The attachment came with you from Willow's Weep, correct?
Yes.
All
yes.
right. Do you think maybe that he or she wanted rest from Willow's Weep, wanted rest from the torment that they were suffering there, and that's why they followed you home?
Yes, and here's the other thing. I have thought about that. I have actually thought of the fact that maybe something followed me home wanting my help. Maybe it escaped and it came home with me and it wanted my help. But my problem is waking me up and staring at my bed is not the way. And that's what I kept trying to tell him when I would turn my ghost box on. If you want help, tell me and I will find it. But stop waking me up in the middle of the night, because all that's going to do is scare me. And then you're not going to get help because you're scaring me. You know, I mean, that's not the way for me to help you. So I would talk to, you know, I would talk to him. I would be all alone in my room, and I would talk to him and tell him, you've got to stop this.
Mm-hmm.
If you want help, you have to tell me how. And I'd say, what do you want? Rest. Every single time, that's all I'd get. So if it was able to leave there, it would at least be able to tell me why, you know, and what it wanted, but it never did. So.
Did you see it again after you woke up smelling the sulfur?
No. Not that day. It's not like I smelled the sulfur and saw it. It was just that morning. It was just the sulfur.
But I mean, like after that day, did you see it or sense it anymore?
Yes, for another like
okay.
month and something. Yeah.
Was this every day you saw it, or just
every
times a week?
Day.
Oh.
Yes,
geez.
Every day. I would try not to go to sleep, so sometimes, like I said, I would only get 2 hours of sleep, because I knew it was always, I don't know if it was the time, like around 3, but sometimes it would be 2, sometimes it would be 4, sometimes it would be 3, so I would always try to stay up past those times, and then try to get a couple hours of sleep, and then maybe I wouldn't see it, but almost every day, it would be almost every single night. To the point where I slept alone, because my husband didn't want to sleep with me, because he would wake up and grab the belt, and grab the bat from underneath the bed and start swinging. And he'd be like, who is it? And I would be like, it's a spirit. And he would go to the couch because he doesn't sleep. So, that caused really bad problems in our marriage too. Because if we can't even sleep in the same bed together, you know. So, our whole family was just falling apart. I mean, around this time, my daughter's going through her teenage years. I'm fighting with my husband. We're not sleeping in the same bed. My whole life was just turning upside down. People were like, you know, maybe this is related to Willow's Weep. Maybe that's why this stuff's happening. But I just didn't want to believe it because I love the place so much. So,
Well, stuff like that place has caused some problems for a lot of people. Suicides. I wonder if the suicide or the spirits or whatever had anything to do with the suicides.
I know, because I actually, the last couple months, when the things started happening to me, I got really, really depressed. And death sounded like a very good option to me a couple months ago.
Wow.
I mean, we're talking to the point where I would much rather be dead than alive with the things that had happened to me. And then I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this is sounding a lot like go to sleep, but I was just in denial. Mm-hmm. There's something in me that keeps wanting to go back there. I keep thinking I'm going to find answers one of these times I go there. You know, and I never do. I never really get more evidence and I get more things that happen to me, but I'm not getting answers that I'm looking for. So I keep searching and it's almost like exhausting me. Maybe it's an obsession even. The place may be an obsession place. Because it matters to me more than a lot of things. I mean, if my marriage was going to end, I was okay with that. I wasn't going to give up investigating to save my marriage. No, I wouldn't have. And that's weird to me because, I mean, you know, but that's how obsessed I was. Like, I would not. And it all could be. If you guys, which I'm not going to talk about what happened to me a couple months ago, but let's just say it was 5 times worse than what happened to me about being woke up. And I told you that's my nightmare. It was 5 times worse. It was actually something that I didn't think that I could live with. I really didn't.
Wow. So
I never thought I could be happy again after what happened to me. So
whatever happened to you happened. How did you get yourself back on your feet again?
Well, it took a while. I'm just one of those people that cannot stay unhappy long. If I'm going to live unhappy, I'd much rather be dead, and death wasn't an option. I just decided to pick myself up and start doing things again. I just started. I started doing things with this other lady. Like, I'm planning an event with her that's coming in September. I started keeping busy, and that seemed to help because as long as I was really busy, I wasn't thinking about what had happened. And at the time, I would never have connected it to Willoughby, but the more I think back about what had happened and how I wanted to die and how it was one of the worst things that could possibly happen to a person. I keep thinking and wondering if it isn't connected. And I think maybe I need to take a break from the place, honestly. It's hard, though, because I'm supposed to be going back. There is a group that contacted me about filming there, and they want me to come. And that's in July. So, and I already said I would do it. So I've already committed to go back in July.
Wow.
So,
It kind of makes you wonder, though, if the people who did commit suicide at Willoughby were going through the same things that you went through.
And if they weren't mentally sound. I'm not saying I was, because after what happened to me, I wasn't mentally sound, but imagine if they were on any kind of drugs or if they were on, you know what I mean? Because I was not.
Yeah, yeah.
But if they were and they were feeling like that, they absolutely could have given in a lot easier. I'm a very strong woman, and I've always been in control of my own. I've never taken a drug to feel a certain way. I'm always 100% control of how I feel, what I do, and I'm very strong-willed as far as that goes. Like, you're not going to take over my body. You're not going to come into my space. I've just always been very strong-willed about that. So I'm wondering if some of these people weren't and they couldn't recover, because I'm telling you, it was the lowest I've ever been. So if I can recover from that, I can recover from anything. There isn't anything that can keep me down if I can recover from what happened to me. So.
Well, that's going to give you a lot of confidence, too, going forward.
Yeah. How? I'm still. What?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, it's taking one day at a time. You know, I definitely have a day here where I just want to cry all day, you know, but I'm definitely doing a lot, lot better. Definitely having some goals and having some things to look forward to helps.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
I know.
Thank you.
Coming from a personal perspective, I definitely know how depression goes, and it's not fun.
Not at all. No, especially, yeah.
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 How often do you think of Willow's Weep? Like, how often are do you, like, feel the urge to just get up and go there?
Nonstop.
Nonstop?
Truth is, somehow this place comes into my life almost on a daily basis. There will be some reason in my life where I need to bring up this house. For some reason, whether I meet somebody and something happens, I'll bring it up. Or there'll be somebody who messages me on Facebook and asks me a question and somehow Willow's Weep is coming up. I mean, it does. It comes up a lot. So, yeah. I don't know.
And this has been
I really
going
don't.
On since your first investigation there?
From last week? Nothing. No. Nothing weird going on. I heard my EVTs and that really... It was really neat for me to hear them say, I want to touch your hair, and then we get my hair touched. That was so exciting to me because I'd never caught anything like that. We did catch some things that you couldn't quite understand, but these are very, very clear, these two things. The help me and the I want to touch your hair are very, very clear. You can definitely understand what they're saying. So that was really exciting to me. But I want to tell you guys before I forget. You remember how I said that there was a personal experience that I had that just made me more curious and want to kind of see for myself what was out there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is
yeah.
so strange. This is I haven't had anybody else ever tell a story like this because I was curious if there's anybody that's ever had something similar happen. It was pouring down rain, and I was driving by a cemetery here in Fort Wayne. And... went past the cemetery, and there's this lady with long white hair standing on the side of the road. There's nothing crazy about that, even though it's pouring rain, she's standing on the side of the road by a cemetery, but
yeah.
her hair was blowing in the wind. Pouring rain so hard, my wipers were on high, but yet her white hair is blowing in the wind dry. That's what happened. I mean, I came home that night, I was... pumped. I was like, how is that possible? How is the air blowing in the wind? And I knew it was paranormal because there's no explanation for that. And that really is what sparked me to want to try to find answers and do it myself. So.
I had a similar experience to what you had.
Did
I
you?
Was driving home from my girlfriend's house, not wife's house. It was Christmas time, and I'm driving through his neighborhood. I'm look at the Christmas decorations, and I see what looks like a Grim Reaper, like a Halloween Grim Reaper decoration, amongst
yeah.
all the Santa Claus and the snowmen. I look at it, I'm like, what the hell is this doing? Why is there a Grim Reaper decoration in the middle of all these Christmas decorations? I thought that was weird, you know. Come home,
yeah.
go to bed, wake up the next day, about like 2 o'clock, my grandfather passed away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it freaked me out a little bit, you know, because it's just,
uh-huh.
it had the whole cloak with the sickle, everything. Everything you think you see on the cartoons or like the pictures or whatever you think of the Grim Reaper, is what that's what it looked like.
Wow.
Yeah, so like I said, I know exactly what you had these experiences. You're like, whoa, okay.
And if I was going to tell you that I was going to have an experience, it wouldn't be, well, I'm going to see a woman on the side of the road with dry hair in the rain.
you
can't make that one up, you know?
That would be that would be the first thing I thought of. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, think about like a spirit with like chains or like a sheet with a hole in it or something like that, you know? I mean.
I'm going to see a woman with dry hair in the rain. So, yeah,
that's my Jane Paranormal experience right there. Yeah. Right here, the woman.
It's hilarious, though. I've never heard anybody else say it. I've never heard anybody else say that they've seen a woman with dry hair in the rain. And I've heard a lot of stories. That's why I had to make sure I told that one to you guys.
I've heard about the lady in white, but not with the lady with, you know, flowing, luxurious, you know, hair. But, lady with great hair.
In the pouring rain.
Dry.
In the pouring rain.
That's right.
And it was
that shampoo. Bam.
So I got more interested in Ghost Hunters, you know, the show after that, but still never thought that I would investigate. And then I go karaoke singing at this bar, And they said, we're doing a group hunt and we're going to the Ohio State Reformatory. Do you want to go with us? That's what started it all. I went with them. And I went again
So you met a group at a bar and you met a group at a bar and they went to the Ohio State Reformatory?
Yes. The owner and the wife decided to get a, he had to have a minimum of 10 people to rent the prison out. So they just pretty much asked who wants in. And, I'm like, really? I can go investigate? You know, I mean, that's all it took. Well, the only reason we didn't stick with them, because they actually kept going on to more locations, well, they actually partied more than they investigated. Mm-hmm. And since I actually investigated and got more interested, I'm like, I want to do this. So then we decided to form a group, and it was called Wisteria. It was so funny how we got that name, too. That was a really funny story how we got that name. But that's what our group name was, and guess where our first investigation was as a group?
So what's the funny story? You can't leave me hanging like that.
Okay, so Wisteria, how we came up with the name, we were at a rest area, and we've seen another group there, and we said, how weird is it that there's another group at this rest area? And this lady goes, I know, at a rest area? And I said, did you say Wisteria? She said, no, I said rest area. And I said, Wisteria? If you say rest area really fast, it sounds like Wisteria.
That's awesome. All the best ideas come at rest areas. That is pretty funny.
I know. Because I've always liked that word, Wisteria. Anyway, it kind of reminds me of free spirit, you know, and that's how I felt like we were, you know. So it really fit well. And that was our first investigation. We were on our way to Willow Beach that day. That was the first place we ever went as a group.
Wow.
So.
I'm not
blaming it on Willow Beach, but one of the girls in the group got very, very sick to the point where she couldn't investigate anymore. My best friend is so sick right now, she can't even barely get out of bed.
Wow.
And her boyfriend seems to think it's all because of Willow's Leap as well. So there's two people that were so sick, they can't even barely investigate. I mean, Tracy manages, but she's in horrible pain. I mean, if I make her get up out of bed and come somewhere with me, I have to endure her being in pain almost the whole time. I mean, she can barely move. And the other girl, she ended up having so many things wrong with her, I don't even know. Honestly, I don't talk to her anymore. But that's part of the reason our group split up is illness. So
they
kept thinking it was something, and then they would find out they were wrong, and then she didn't have enough money to get something fixed when they finally thought it was something. And I mean, there was just, she's just way too sick. So then our group split up, and like I said, Tressie, she's still very, very sick. So
have
I
you
didn't
tried,
have anything.
No,
go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I tried to figure out what's going on, because I didn't ever have any sickness, but with the tragedy that I've had happen in my life in the last couple years, I didn't have any tragedy before. I'm not saying it's because of Willow's Weed. I never had this many bad things happen to me. I'm not, like, attracted to bad luck or anything. I'm a very good person, and all these things have just been happening to me. So, and if you think about it all together, you have to wonder if it's maybe connected to that place. You just have to, because before that, it's not like I had anything ever happen to me. And since then, my life has completely been turned upside down. So.
Well, have they tried reaching out to people in the paranormal, I guess? I had the word there for a second. Paranormal community, to see if maybe it's an attachment that's causing the pain instead of an actual physical ailment?
No. She seems to believe, and the doctor seems to believe, that it's fibromyalgia, but I don't know if you're familiar with that. There's no way to diagnose you. It's just something that they say that you have if everything else doesn't show up on test. And that's pretty much what they're telling her that she has. And like I said, I don't speak to the other girl anymore, so I don't know how she is. But
like, has any of the medications for the fibromyalgia worked?
No. I mean, they gave her some kind, I don't know the name of it. I know, it's something that she probably should get looked at, because the other day I picked her up and just took her to a short trip, and she could barely even just sit in the car. It even hurt her to just sit in the car.
So she was fine before.
Yes, she had
no
illness before Willow's leave.
Taking her to see a priest, or have you mentioned something to her, like, hey, why don't you go talk to a priest or something and see maybe if you're showing something, signs of attachment or something like that.
If I could talk her into it, that is one thing. She's an atheist, so she doesn't really believe, you know, so I don't know if she's really open-minded to that. I really should maybe try to talk her into it, but I'm not sure she would go for it.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a priest. One of our, I guess, what did Howie say that Dennis was to our group?
one of our honorary
members. He's with another group called CPR, and he went on an investigation with us and had an attachment, and it got so bad to the point where he didn't even want to go to work, and he's his own boss. And he sent a picture to, what was her name, Ryan? Ryan?
Sorry.
Did he go? Oh. Bishop Christina Reiki. Or Reiki,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was
thank
that.
You.
Christina
sorry,
Reiki.
I was helping Allie with something.
Yeah, Bishop Reiki. That's who you're thinking of, I'm sure. She saw a picture of him and was like, hey, you've got something on you.
Oh, wow. And she was able to help him because she was like, you've got pain in this area, and she explained it down to a T, and she was able to help him get the attachment off. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a priest. It could be somebody else in the paranormal community.
Well, that would be awesome if I could talk her into it. Like I said, she's kind of a stubborn woman. I love her, but she's stubborn. I can definitely try again, though, because it could be. I don't know why I'm in such denial when all this stuff happens to everybody around me, surrounding this place. You would think that I would be more open to it, but yet I'm still in denial that it's not Willow's Leap, and I don't know if it's just because I love the place and I don't want somebody to tell me I can't go back there or what it is. I really can't tell you. I mean, I usually use my head a lot better. Usually if something like this were happening, I would be easy to tell myself, you know what, you're not going back there. Are you crazy? But there is something that just calls me back to there. I wish I could explain it more than that. I would live there if I could. I would move in.
Maybe it's
I would
the spirits,
in a heartbeat.
Maybe it's the spirits knowing that there's a possibility that you could help them in some way, and they're trying to call you back to try to, I don't know, maybe give you more evidence.
And they know that I feel for them. They know that I feel for them. I mean, last time I was there, out of the blue, I bawled in front of everybody for about 15 minutes. I just bawled my eyes out. I can feel their sadness. It is overwhelming how sad they are, some of them. It's overwhelming. It just takes over your entire body. I don't usually just start crying at investigations. That does not happen. And for the first time at Willow's Leap, that's the first time I've ever cried. But, you know, like I said, I was very vulnerable. I knew that when I went. So they may have been playing on me a little bit more. In fact, I know they were. I never get grabbed. I got grabbed, and I could feel five fingers grab my leg. I mean, it was like a hand actually did it. So they were poking me and playing with my hair. And they said my name on the ghost box three times in a row to my friend Tressie. Amy, Amy, Amy. I mean, clear as they said it three times in a row.
It's sounding to me like maybe the spirits at Willow's Weep did not want your friends to come back, so they affected them that way. But they want you to come back, because they can talk to you, so they affected you another way, making you want to come back. Maybe they didn't want your friends to come back.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know.
How they affected you more mentally and emotionally, and they affected your friends more physically, as in getting physically ill.
Yes, you're right. It's the other two. Okay, there's only two other people that have went there with me as many times. Well, Chucky has been there all 7 times with me. And Nikki, the other one that got very, very sick, she had been there 4 out of 7 times. And she's the other one that was very sick. So they are. They're the 2 people that's been there the most times besides myself.
And they were part of Wisteria?
Yes, they were.
Wow. And they're, how many investigations had you gone on before you went to Willow's Weep?
As a group, that was our first.
Oh, okay.
That was our first one we ever did, and that's when we got lifted off the ground.
Okay, that's a good way to get started.
That's why I said, after we went to Willow's Weep and then we would go to other places, I'm not downing other places, but when you have something like that happen to you at one location and then you try to go investigate somewhere else, that's like doing the best roller coaster first at a theme park, and then going
like
and doing
having,
the naming
that's like,
one.
That's like walking to your girl, meeting girl for the first time, walking to your house and like, okay, well, all right, well, it's all downhill from there.
Okay. You're right. Or that.
Only in the mind of a man.
That's exactly what it was like. We would go. There's only one other place to me that would compare an activity, and then it shut down and wouldn't let me go back. I'm going to tell you right now, it's Owen County Home. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Owen County
Owen County Home.
Owen
in
County
Spencer,
Home.
Indiana.
Okay. Is that in Indiana as well?
Yes, and that was absolutely, I'll tell you, we got so much evidence from that place. That place was just, I would say just as active as Willow's Weep. Now, it didn't have the effect on me that Willow's Weep had, but it had as much action and as much evidence collected, definitely.
Hey, Kristen.
Yes.
I think me, you, Amber, Allie, we need to take a road trip to Indiana.
I'm game.
Sounds like a
scary ass place.
I think you guys need to. Yes, you do.
We'll be careful. We'll get Allie. We'll take a little road trip to Indiana.
Now, are we going to be driving, train, or plane?
I'm down for that.
We'll break out the pilot.
All right.
Willow's Weep.
You won't be disappointed. I can't see you being disappointed. You might want to call me at VR because I guarantee you
we'll
be over there in 3 hours.
No doubt about that.
You might want to try without me and see what happens, and then with me, because if you ask the people that, because I went with the whole 3 people I've never met before this last time I went last week, and they said that when I left the house, nothing happened.
Yeah.
That's what they said. That was their word. Actually, one of the guys that I went with last week is listening to this show right now, and he told me that after I left, nothing happened. So.
Oh, yeah. Then I definitely want you to be there because you were paying the money to go investigate. We definitely want something to happen. I want to come back.
Make it a whole weekend thing.
I would love to go back there, of course. You don't have to beg me.
I don't have to. I don't have to twist your arm.
They say we make it a weekend ordeal. We do the first night by ourselves, and then the second night we bring her in and see the difference.
Yes, that's a good idea. That's a very good idea.
That'd be fine.
See what the difference is.
That's great. So, I'm going back to this whole video thing. Were you filming it, like, with your handy cam camera that's taking a video of the during the investigation, and then you get home, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna go over this evidence and see what I caught, and you get, like, start watching it, and you can't finish it, or is it, like, someone else's video you're watching?
No, it was mine. It's mine. I had just left it sit. I don't walk around with it. That's too distracting for me. Yeah, so I just had it sitting, and then, like I said, as far as I got, you could hear us say it got cold, and as soon as we said it got cold, we didn't see it with our eyes at the time, but as soon, and to me, if there's more than one thing that's happening it's more than likely paranormal. Like if you're just having some ball of light and nothing else, or just having cold and nothing else. But I asked for the children to come forward. About 10 seconds later, it got freezing. Me and Jesse, you can see us both, and we're saying how freezing it is, both of us. And at the same time, you're seeing this ball of light come from the ceiling and land in the center of the floor, but it kind of has a path, like a travel, and it lands right in the middle of the floor. And then I cannot watch anymore. I heard my son screaming. I could not watch any further than that. I do not know what happens next. I don't know what happens from there on.
So I was just sitting there. Do you ever get curious about what I'm called popping in just to see your house and try to watch it?
I know. I really do need to try to watch it. But I mean, nobody else can be here, but I have to be with somebody. See, that's the thing. Trusty came to try to watch it with me and got sick, so she hasn't really tried to come watch it with me again. So I have to have somebody here.
Road trip.
It can be Friday we'll eat popcorn, watch the video. Saturday we'll investigate without me, and then Sunday with me. We got it all planned.
Yeah, I'm game.
But I do need somebody to watch that with me, because I'm telling you, I'm not going to have that. Not by myself, because, I mean, I don't mind going places and investigating, but I do not like when they come home with me and invade my private area. I mean, I've had them, I'll be in the shower in the morning on Halloween, I'll never forget it. I said, oh, I haven't had any activity in so long. I get in the shower, and all I hear is the toilet slam up. You know how the toilet lid slams back, almost like somebody's getting ready to use the bathroom? So I'm thinking it was a man, because it was already, the top part was already up. It was like the bottom part that you sit on. So like somebody was going to pee. So I'm like, oh, hi, good morning. And nobody answered, and I look out, and nobody's there.
He saw his husband coming in to relieve himself.
And nobody was there.
So just because you said, I guarantee it's because you said you haven't got any activity. You jinxed yourself.
Like, we just want you to know we're not gone. We're just kind of hanging out.
We're just laying dormant, you know, chilling.
Yeah.
I had a question, and I completely forgot it.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Do you just do, like, local places in your area, or do you investigate all over? Or
been all different kinds of places. Like, I'm going to be going to Pennhurst here in a couple weeks. I'm real excited about that. That'll be in Pennsylvania. I think that'll be the furthest that I've traveled so far. Like, I think to Kentucky, Illinois, Ohio. I haven't actually investigated in Michigan yet. It's on my list. I really want to find some place in Michigan to go. So definitely Pennsylvania will be the furthest, and that'll be here in a couple of weeks. I'll be going there.
You know, Virginia has some pretty cool places.
Yeah. There's so many places in my area to go. I mean, I have two of my favorite places are 45 minutes from me.
How far
is that? 3.5 hours.
Well, then you must really love Willow's Leap. You must really love Willow's Weep for 3.5 hours.
I know. Exactly. Like, I'll drive 3.5 hours. I'll investigate 12 hours because you get the place from 7 at night to 7 in the morning. And I'm usually the only one that wants to stay there for full 12 hours. Usually somebody always wants to leave early. And then I will drive another 3.5 hours home. So, yeah, I feel like I stay the night there. It's worth it to me, though. I mean, every single time. I take something with me different every single time I go there. Something that I never thought would happen to me. Something I can't explain or just keeps me wowed. It's almost, you know, how you're addicted to adrenaline. That's what I feel like. That place is a constant adrenaline rush.
So when
and
you
I
leave
love that.
There,
I love that.
There's so much energy in the house. You don't feel drained. You feel more alive, more energetic. You have energy to drive 3 hours back home.
except for this last time, I was so drained, it was beyond real. Like I told you, the only thing I can explain why I was so drained this last time is because of how vulnerable I was and how much they kept touching me and interacting with me. At one point, we hit me and one other guy had walked into the house. We got halfway in, and the door slammed behind us. I mean, it was just crazy. It was like the whole house was just, it was messing with me, and mostly with me. I mean, everybody else was kind of bored because they're like, are you just going to sit here and get all the action? And I knew there was a possibility because, like I said, I don't go investigate usually when I'm vulnerable or when I'm not right. You know, if I'm really depressed or I'm having a lot of problems at home, I try not to investigate. But
it leaves you open.
I couldn't.
And vulnerable.
Yeah. And I did this last time. But nothing came wrong with me so far. Maybe it didn't, just let me know yet.
Don't count your chickens, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever thought about taking someone with you, like a medium or something?
Yes, actually, there's a lady on Facebook that had seen, because I have been interviewed by Living Dead Paranormal, and they had asked me about my experiences there, and I'm on their YouTube show, and also this lady that's seen it, she called me, and she's like, look, I have the same things that happened to you, the same exact things happened to me too, but she's actually an empath, so she can feel all this stuff, she says that her group, there's a psychic, there's all kinds, she wants to know if I'll go with her. She said she cannot imagine what kind of experiences we'll have if I show up there with her. And I told her I would go. And she's just as scared as me. She had something come home with her. But guess what the thing did that came home with her? It stayed outside. It would not come into her room. She kept going to the window, and it was standing outside her window.
So it was like, was it that had, like, protection or something that kept them away?
Exactly.
Like a bubble
because
around her?
Because she was prepared. Yeah. Uh-huh. Because she was prepared for it. Because that's what she specializes in. She knows about all this stuff. Like, I didn't know about all the stuff that she does. She's very talented. And so whatever it was standing outside her window, I don't know if that might creep me out just as bad. As if I was laying in bed and there was someone outside my window, that might scare me.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what. Right after I came back from Willow's Weep, not this last time, but the time before, I kept seeing somebody outside my front window. And I said, I don't know if it's because you told me that you seen somebody out your window or if they're really there. But we're talking Slender Man type. Very tall, very skinny, pure black. No face, no nothing. But she said that's exactly how she would describe what was standing outside her window.
Now, was this like full-on looking at it, like face-to-face, or was like you catch something that's calling your eye? You see something, right?
Yeah, I would see it go by the window, and then I would run to look, and it would be gone. So it was like always glances of it. I would wait, because I would actually think somebody was coming to my window or coming to my door, because they would walk by the front window, and every time nobody would ever knock. So I'd go to the front door and look, and nobody would be there. But that had never happened to me before until two times ago. I ever seen him outside the window. But she had heard, you know, that YouTube show that Living Dead did, and that's when she contacted me. She was like, you've got to know that I have had the same exact experiences that you have. I mean, she was just flabbergasted about how much similarities we had in our experiences. So.
What's cool about that, it would,
she asked me,
go with her, is if you, you know, she sees things and you can catch the voices on the voice box, it's like you're proving each other right. Like, you know, she can see what she sees, and then, you know, it comes out of the voice box. It's like double proof right there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, I mean, she doesn't know when, because she's going to school right now, but she said that she was going to contact me, and we were going to set it up. So that should be, see, there's all these opportunities for me to go back already. Like I said, this filming crew just contacted me last weekend. They just contacted
never stopped,
me last weekend. No, it's like and even you guys are talking about it. You go in there with you. So it looks like I'm going back.
Do you, did you, after all that stuff happened, did you look into extra protection for yourself as far as, like,
saying different kinds of prayers or something, a little stronger protection?
No, I didn't. Same things I always do.
Oh. Well, I mean, you know.
See, and I almost wonder if when this thing was waking me up in the middle of the night, there was so much fighting going on at the house, you know, from the problems with my marriage and the problems with my teenage daughter and my teenage son. I think that it fed off that, and it kept coming back. And maybe after things started getting better in the house. But when they got better, I don't mean things were better. What I mean by better is we're not fighting. So we're not yelling anymore, but we're not talking. There's no – everybody's just ignoring everybody. Then it kind of went away.
There's still tension in the house. It's just not as loud.
Right. It's not – we're not screaming and fighting like we were. Because it was around Christmas time, and things were really bad here. I mean, there was always, like, screaming and yelling, and that's when every night it would wake me up. And when things just got to the point where we were just, you know, not talking and everybody wasn't talking to everybody, everybody was just mad, I mean, but there was no screaming, maybe there was nothing for it to feed off of quite as much. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just a guess of mine. So I don't know for sure.
Well, it's as good a guess as any.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I think you said you had something you want to talk about. You have an event or something. You want to discuss?
Yes. It's called Road to the Paranormal. What? What'd you say? Sorry. Oh, no, I was just saying it's called Road to the Paranormal. It's an event that's going to be taking place. Road to the Paranormal. It's going to be taking place in September 6th, actually. And we're looking for vendors and of all kinds. This is going to be like for not just haunted attractions, not just spirit guides, anything, psychics, mediums, anything, all different kinds of vendors. We're going to be highlighting Living Dead Paranormal there. There's going to be an investigation prior at Thornhaven Manor. There's going to be more details announced later. But you can keep your eye out on the Facebook page, Road to the Paranormal. Or you can contact me, Amy Jo, Ghost Box Chick, on Facebook. Because we don't know, like, every single detail right now. It's still in the works. But it's going to be a pretty big event. It's going to be very exciting. Really excited about it. So
is it like a paranormal convention? Or
yeah.
Is it just,
yep.
Okay. This term for it's like a nationwide thing, or is it just mostly local people in Indiana?
Mostly local, but we're there's luckily where the location's at, there's like four or five hotels right down the street. So we're hoping to get people from all over the place to come.
Well, that sounds like a fun time. And
it's gonna
you have anybody
be,
booked so far? Is anybody you know who's coming so far?
We definitely have Living Dead Paranormal. We just announced a new person on our page tonight if you want to go on and look at Road to the Paranormal. And then we have a couple more people in the work that we're still trying to work out. But if you go on there, you know, we're going to talk about how you can get tickets and all of that's in the works right now. We are just getting everything started so people can start marking their calendars. So September 6th, we've got plans to make it here. There's plenty of room. Acres that we've got to work with at this location. It's called Montgomery. It's in Spiceland.
Montgomery.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that sounds like fun. I'm sure. You'll get a big crowd.
Yeah, I hope so. That's what we're hoping for.
September is a nice time to have those things, those conventions, because it's not as hot as it is in August. I don't know how it is. Indiana, but here it's like super humid in August and July and June. But
is it? Yeah. September
is not as bad.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's going to be a good time. for it. I think it will be. I think everything will be. Everything seems to be falling right into place for this, so it's going to be very exciting.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. Actually, cool watching stuff come, like you put stuff together like that, and watch it come together. What made you want to do this? What inspired you to do this, to make do a convention like this, or?
Well, actually, it was her name's Rowana. It's a friend of mine. It was all her idea. It's her name. I'm just her assistant. I'm helping her plan everything.
Okay.
And honestly, this is my dream. Like that is, I'm a people person. I absolutely love to work with people, to help people. I love it. It's the best feeling in the world. And that's just what I'm good at. So I'm actually getting to do something right now. See, that's what's also kind of weird. With this thing that happened to my life a couple months ago and turned my whole life upside down, the one thing good about it that I could say that came out of it is I've been able to take some road trips with my friend Ro. She's actually the one that thought of this whole thing. So when her and I were able to take lunches that I wouldn't normally be able to take out of town, we put our heads together and, you know, started talking, and we've got this vision for this event. You know, I mean, and it's something that I've always wanted to do, and I've never been able to because of my job, because I work long hours.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that turned upside down when a couple months ago when this tragedy happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was unable to go back to work full time. So, and we're talking the same job for 16 years I worked at. So, and I was unable to go back. Yeah. Which doesn't only affect you financially. I ran a daycare. I ran a daycare out of my own home. So when I didn't return to work, it was almost like those children were taken from me as well. So I had to go through that whole emotional thing as well.
Yeah, it's kind of fictional.
I was very attached.
I was about to say that, yeah.
Yeah, I was very, very attached to the kids that I watched. They actually, most of the kids that I don't watch anymore were very traumatized by going to a new place when this was their home away from home. So there was so many different aspects of my life that were affected. And this is actually something that I can focus on and put positive energy into. And it makes me feel good. And it's keeping me, you know, my mind off things. And I absolutely, when I make other people happy, that makes me happy. So, and that's what this event is going to be all about. Making people happy.
Well,
it's just going to be one big, huge party. So.
Well, tell you what, how about, it gets closer to your event, we have you back on the show.
Okay.
And you can talk about the event, see who's coming, and promote it even when it gets closer.
That would
we'll
be
do
awesome.
What we can on our part to promote it as well.
Thank you. I would appreciate that.
It would be our pleasure.
Sorry, I wasn't more interactive. I was more listening to you.
Oh, I know. I don't know if you guys can envision. I try to be, you know, as descriptive as I can, but, of course, nothing beats being there. But because I try to put it into words, and sometimes it's hard to reiterate into words what you've experienced because you can't describe how you feel sometimes. But I tried my best.
You did a great job.
Well,
you have us convinced to drive to Indiana, which I never thought I would ever be convinced to drive to Indiana. But now I want to go to Indiana. So I am.
Awesome! Awesome!
Really appreciate you coming on the show, and hopefully we'll talk to you again. We'll get you back on here, and we get you to come out to Virginia, and we'll take you on an investigation with us.
That sounds great. That sounds wonderful. Thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Thank you. Yes, you too. Bye.
All right. Bye.
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 That was interesting.
I'm really, really interested in that place. We really need
too.
To go on a road trip.
I tell you what, man. I guess before I never thought I'd ever want to drive to Indiana. You know, I'm like Indiana, but now I'm like I want to go to freaking Indiana. Shit, Indiana's a freaky place, apparently. Because woo. Wow.
Apparently, once you hit that town, everything just gets weird.
Was it Eugene? She said.
Yeah.
A covered bridge, and that's I guess freaky right there. A covered bridge. I mean, that's like, you know, crossing into, you know,
a different, more like a Twilight Zone or something.
When he said covered bridge, the first thing that popped into my head was the Headless Horseman, Sleepy Hollow.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. I just had that thing in my head. I'm like, it's covered bridge. I got this covered bridge. Like, that's, wow.
See, when I think of covered bridges, I think of Beetlejuice.
That
well, he's there. He's covered right there. That's fucking insane, man. I mean, I wonder if, I'm thinking that maybe, because they said there are no corners in that house. I wonder if the design of the house was, you said it was superstitious, but maybe the design of the house invited the evil spirits in.
See, that's just crazy. A house with no corners?
There's one of those out here in
Dishwood. The superstition parts didn't work because there's some bad stuff going on in that house. But
well, who's to say it?
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I've heard of people, like, I was watching, you know, Ghost Adventures, but they went to Letchworth Village in New York City, and these two investigators, they're talking to investigators, and they've been attacked, scratched, but they keep coming back. I mean, they cannot stop themselves. They saw like a 7-foot like creature coming towards them. They'll sneak in. They'll trespass again, and they'll sneak in. They think they've been. I think they were arrested a couple times, but it's like they said they have to go back. Like I think the girl might have put a tattoo of Letchworth on her back or something. I mean, these places can get to you. I know. I've seen girls have like one girl had a tattoo of Sloss Furnace on her back. I mean, it's just like once a place gets its claws into you, it's like they keep. It's like an addiction. You know?
Going back to about the whole superstition thing, who's to say that it was superstition and not something already there on the property that put it into his mind to build the house that way?
Exactly. You never know. You could be exactly right. You know? Or they could assume it's superstition and he could have really been a really bad man and
did it on purpose.
I mean,
so many questions, but we need answers. So we're making a road
yes.
trip.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, depending on the cost, if I have to pay twice to go investigate there, it's like 2 nights.
I'll just take it with me the first time.
So, I mean, after going to St. Albans, you know, paying that money and not getting, we got some stuff there, but I think most of the activity happened tonight on Friday night. So when we got there, It was more quiet, more subdued, and more subdued stuff going on. We got small stuff, but most of it was personal experiences.
We had a red fire truck and a little boys' room off by itself. Like
did you say fire truck?
Yes.
Well, it begins with F and ends with UCK.
Fire truck.
I think we're about to go off the air in a few seconds. So
we are. We have a little
now.
Less than 2 minutes, I think.
All right. Well, I'm going to say thank you to Amy Jo for coming on. She was a great guest, and we had a lot of fun talking to her. As always, it's always fun talking to my girls, Amber and Kristen and Allie. I'm gonna stop talking now. You girls take it away. You guys have a great night.
You too, Ryan.
You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye.